Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to this Monday edition of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. We are thinking about Thanksgiving and getting ready for that holiday coming up this week. And we are really going to talk about gratitude and how can we prepare the hearts of our children and our own hearts. If you are a regular listener of this show, you know we talk about gratitude a lot because it has a lot of health benefits. It literally guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, improving our physical health, our heart health, our sleep health, our emotional health, our mental health. So we'll be talking about that today, but I have a treat for you. We have a certified biblical parenting coach on the show today. So we are going to talk about all kinds of things in addition to gratitude. Did you even know there was such a thing as a certified biblical parenting coach? We have today, my guest is Nanette Johnson. Now, she is a certified biblical parenting coach through the National Center for Biblical Parenting, and she is recently retired after serving as preschool and family minister for more than 17 years. Now, Nanette has served and encouraged parents and young children over the past 30 years, and her wealth of experience and God's word greatly affects the way she coaches parents to guard their hearts of their children. She's done a lot of really great things, but I would bet, Nanette, that your greatest source of pride and joy is your family. You and your husband are fellow Texans with me, and you have four grandchildren. So welcome to the show, Nanette. We're so glad to have you here.
Thank you, Jessica. It's a sweet privilege to be here. I'm thrilled. And thank you for the work that you do. I appreciate your offer to be here.
Well, it takes a village and we have the best. So, Nanette, I would love for you just to share with our listeners just a little bit of your personal story and your testimony and how the Lord has directed your life in this way.
Okay. Well, as you said, we are recently retired and have four beautiful grandchildren and two daughters married. And we, because of retirement now, we all live within about 15 miles of each other, which is a brand new thing for us and a delight to get to be near the family and have almost daily interactions with our grandchildren. The oldest will turn 5 in just a few weeks, and so we get to see their development, and it's just a joy. But my testimony is the fact that I was raised in a home of a Baptist pastor. So my dad was a pastor, has been a pastor all of my life, and so the church for me is a huge source of encouragement and community and blessing. And that was where I felt most comfortable. And then that's where God called me into ministry. And so it wasn't a big surprise that I ended up in ministry in the church as a children's preschool pastor, family minister, whatever title you want to give it. So I've just loved being a part of that way of ministry. And as God would have it, I grown in that ministry to where it was not just about the children who are delightful, and I just love preschoolers, but it also turned to be ministry to the parents. And that's where I think my biggest focus is currently, is encouraging parents and holding space for them. It can be a lonely place, and it can be a kind of a scary place at times. And so being able to minister to young parents, holding space for their frustrations and their fears, their worries, but then encouraging them along the way to give them confidence and hope is a sweet blessing that I get to have now.
Well, that is something that we share in common, and it's so good to hear, you know, your positive experience with the church. I guess we'll have to reserve all the jokes about PKs and preachers' kids and the stereotypes, you know, for another time, but I'm sure there are other PKs out there listening, you know, nodding their heads. And, you know, Nanette, I think that today is so, it's such a hard time to be a parent, you know, more than any other generation. And of course, I have a biased view. I've only parented in one generation, but in studying and looking at past generations, I think that it's a very frightening time. Social media makes the world scary, and it makes those scary things seem so much closer than they were before. And there's so many things today that our kids are facing that it's not like you can go to your parents and say, you know, if they were good parents and biblical models, you can't say, okay, well, what did you do? What advice do you have? Because they don't know either. And so I think that, you know, the truth of God's word is so important. So can you share with us, what is a biblical parenting coach, and how do you help families through that lens?
Yes. Well, obviously, God's word is very valuable in guiding that just that outlook of worldview and how to raise your children. But then to be focused more on the inward actions that cause the outward action. So your inner heart, your inner being, where is your focus inside? So that's a hard place to go, because as parents, sometimes we don't even know ourselves how we feel on the inside because we're running at such a fast pace, honestly. So biblical parenting helps to slow some things down and to give an inward perspective of that internal motives. Where do you get your drive, your desires? Where are you making your decisions from? All that comes from your gut, your heart inside of you. So when that piece of our lives is centered on God, then we can begin to focus on what is causing our behaviors on the outside. And that's where we see that actions are very noticeable in children. And it's going to point to the fact that something might be wrong on the inside when we have so much anger or so much anxiety or no cooperation at all, or the respect is missing. That's an inward piece that we try to focus on when our biblical parenting coach comes alongside of our parents. So the inside of each of us is a very complicated place. So there are some very specific steps that we begin to work with. And one of them is really understanding the difference between who's responsible for what. As parents, we are responsible for certain things. We are not responsible to carry your child's emotions or to meet those same emotions that come from your child. As a parent, we don't need to mirror what they are doing. They should be mirroring our stable emotions. So responsibility is a big key. And this parenting coach relationship is understanding who's responsible for what.
Well, I love that. And I took this quote off of your Instagram, Nanette. It said, heart-based parenting fosters parent-child relationships where honor becomes the standard and hope is renewed. And from my perspective, you know, as a healthcare professional, as a nurse practitioner who coaches parents all the time, not from this same framework that you use, but just from a general health framework and development framework, I couldn't agree more. And we do align on that because because when we only try to control the behavior, we really do miss the heart. And what we're telling our kids is that what you think and feel and believe really doesn't matter. It just matters what you do. I don't care what's on the inside, just as long as I get that instant gratification of your behavior. And Nanette, I talk about this all the time because I think this is a challenge for parents, because we want and we leverage our kids' behavior to be our instant gratification that we're doing a good job as a parent. Where the truth is, I mean, kids, it takes them a long time to learn something. And it's not as easy to see those heart changes occurring. Those are more subtle. They're more gradual. They occur more slowly over time. And the behavior, really the best kind of behavior, is going to follow those heart changes. So I just posted a video of this on my social media of a pineapple field actually in Hawaii, where did you see that? It takes an average of 2 years for a pineapple to grow. Yes. And so I'm seeing all of these workers out in the field, and all they see is a big red dust field, but they are confident in the seed that they planted. And I feel like we have to do that same thing as parents. Now, Nanette, one of the really important things that parents do really early is spiritual health. And I think you talked about how you love preschoolers. You know, I think when you're thinking of preschoolers, you're thinking about potty training them and teaching them to ride a bike and to eat vegetables and not to run in the street. I don't know how intentionally a lot of parents think about spiritual health, but what is your advice for parents in those critical formative years?
Yes, spiritual health, just as you've said many times already, is a very much a part of the rest of our health, emotional, mental, physical health. And so spiritually for young children, I truly believe as even an infant, because we are created in God's image, we as babies actually have the innate ability to awe and wonder and worship on just a natural way. And so infants can begin to sense God's presence as we read and sing and pray. So that begins early, even in infancy. But then that awe and wonder that is natural part of their being needs language to go with it as they grow and develop. And so the language of reading the Bible and praying over them and singing those songs begins to form and find a place to express their awe and wonder through words. And then as they develop, it's this understanding of right and wrong, or making right choices and the consequences of the wrong choices. So that's still a spiritual understanding that as they develop, they need forgiveness. And so the forgiveness comes through Jesus Christ. So all of these types of development always come back to a spiritual meaning, a spiritual need, a spiritual formation. So in young children, one of the ways that is so easy to focus back on God is through his creation, but then through the very simple truths. There are three simple truths that really grow with us into adulthood. God made me, God loves me, God is my friend. And those three simple phrases to start right there as they develop their language, as they develop their understanding of who God is and how God made them and the purpose that God has for them. And those will grow and change through stages. So that development early on is so important spiritually, to introduce our children to God through his creation, through the way that we honor each other, and through the way that we trust him. So there's a lot more that can be said about that.
But, isn't there? I know. We could talk for days about that. God made me. God loves me. God is my friend. And I can tell you from my perspective, I can assert that research shows that families who have spiritual practices, families who go to church, who worship together, who pray together, their kids are much less likely to engage in risk-taking behaviors later on. They're more likely to do well in school, to have good friends, to have better mental health. There's so much more to talk about. We'll talk more about how do you incorporate these conversations into everyday life and some tips for gratitude and thankfulness this week. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to this Monday edition of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, where we are talking about gratitude and we're talking about parenting, like we always do. There is so much to discuss. We could talk about this for hours, and we are, and we have been. And for those of you listening along, I just want to thank you so much for investing your time as your most valuable commodity to spend this hour with us and to be intentional about directing your efforts into your parenting journey. It's so easy to binge watch a show or to, you know, scroll through our social media or other things that seem to take our time. But I just want to give you, my listener, right here some positive affirmation. The fact that you're here and you haven't turned the radio or switched the channel, I'm really appreciative of that. And I know your children will be grateful for this investment that you're making today. We're talking today to Nanette Johnson, who is a certified biblical parenting coach. Did you know there was such a thing? Through the National Center for Biblical Parenting. And we've been talking about spiritual development of children. And I've said this before, as a nurse practitioner, I believe in holistic health. Our spiritual health impacts our physical health in ways we still don't even understand. But we do know that that happens. And Nanette, before the break, we were starting to talk about incorporating these conversations into daily life. Now, not too long ago, I guess it seems like ages ago because it was right before COVID, and that seems like a million years ago now. But right before COVID, I taught a parenting class, and I had a mom in there who was not in the habit of praying out loud with her children. She had never done that before. And she felt so awkward about it. Like, it just, she didn't want to seem like she felt like a fake or a phony, or like, it just felt weird to go home one day and say, "Hey, we're going to pray out loud together." But she did. And it was so precious, Nanette, because her little boy, who was a preschooler at the time, one of her children, he came back the next night and said, "Are you coming in to pray with me again tonight? I liked it." And I think our children are craving those kinds of things where we can model that, hey, this world is scary, but we believe in something bigger than us. That, just what you said, Nanette, you said, God made me, God loves me, God's my friend. So what is your advice for families on incorporating this into everyday life?
Well, I love that you gave the story of bedtime and prayers and feeling uncomfortable really doing that. The thing about daily life, I think, for our families is, like I've already said, they are so rushed and so full and way too busy. And so one of the things that I would love to see more of in our homes is just a slower, quieter pace of life. When you can slow down and have time for prayer at bedtime, that probably, you know, all of the physical helps that come from that type of pace to slow down at night, especially, and to be reflective and to be thoughtful, that to just let that peace of God come into the night and bless our children at the same time. But the prayer time at bedtime is a very good and natural way to do that. even if it's just as simple as, thank you, God, for, and then fill in the blank. Our children are usually very good at that. So even if parents feel uncomfortable, children probably aren't going to be as intimidated by that, because it's a natural thing for them to just fill in the blank for what they're thankful for. So that's an easy way to start for our families, is to just those thankful prayers of thank you, God, for, and fill in the blank. But then if you can't even figure that part out, just think about creation. What are you thankful for in God's natural world that he has made? And again, our children are very good at spotting that quickly and having that awe and wonder come out. I believe that even when we don't have the words, others, we can rely on others. And so songs and praise music and storybooks, Bible storybooks, there are little prayer books for children. Any of that, those kinds of resources, well, I should not say any. Not every resource out there is probably what we want, but there are really good resources for parents who are not accustomed to doing that type of thing in their home. But then it's okay as a parent to just say, I think this might feel weird, but I want us to try and I want us to learn to do this together. I think your children would love to hear you say, this might be weird, but we're going to do this together. Grow with your children together in a spiritual way. You don't have to have all the answers. It's not going to be polished, and God doesn't expect it to be like that from us. I love that
you said that, Nanette, because I think that, yes, when parents think of family devotionals, they think of, like, you know, their children sitting around so beautifully. And one of my friends that I've had on the show before, Lauren Gaines, who just wrote a book about Unshakable Kids, her book trailer was this video, you know, where she was trying to have this church service at home and she ended up yelling at her kids. I mean, it was nothing like she expected. Mm-hmm. And I see that. But, you know, Nanette, I think that faith is caught so much more than it's taught. And I'll give you an example. Because
exactly.
A lot of times, if you don't feel authentic in leading your kids, just working on your own journey is so helpful. Mm-hmm. So my father-in-law, he started going to a men's Bible study every Tuesday morning, very early in the morning, and he would buy donuts for this group, and he would always have leftovers because he's Italian and he buys, you know, food is his love language. He buys way too much all the time, and we love it because he brings over the leftovers. Now, my kids know every Tuesday morning that he's going to show up with donuts, but that's not what they remember. They know, oh, Opa has Bible study every Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing that they're looking at. And I think that's so important. Mm-hmm. Well, what advice do you have about gratitude? How can we, what are some simple everyday practices for being thankful?
Mm-hmm. That's such a good one. Well, what we've already said is those thank you prayers, but the thank you prayers in the moment, I would say, don't wait for bedtime. As you are taking walks or driving down the road, thank you, God, for the beautiful blue sky. Thank you, God, for today that we get to do whatever. That's a super simple, very practical, and everyone in the family can do it and join in. It doesn't have to be formal at all. Nothing is going to be formal with children. And so those thank you prayers are super helpful, easy. But then I think from that, learning to be grateful is being satisfied with what you have now, not wishing for something that isn't, or not longing for something that you want for the future. It's enjoying the present, and so being grateful in the moment expresses that. And our children need to know that things can be good right now. So how are we enjoying the present and being grateful in the moment? Is a good example and a good way to communicate to our children that we are grateful now. It also communicates contentment. I think that's a big missing piece in our world today, is being content. So the more we can be grateful, the more that positive loop begins, and you can just continue that gratitude. But then that brings a sense of contentment to our families.
Also, well, a lot of these things practical, that, oh, yeah, go ahead. You're good.
Now, well, I was just going to say, a lot of the practical piece of this really is about how parents are modeling it for their children. How many times are you as a parent saying thank you and being specific with it? Thank you for putting away the clothes. Thank you for taking care of your little brother when he needed another drink, or whatever specific thing you can say thanks to your child for. That's another way to model. That's just being practical for them.
Oh, I love that, because, again, if my listeners have been listening any length of time, you'll hear me say the only way, the best way, really, to get your kids to do something is to do it yourself. Now, a lot of these things that you're talking about, Nanette, are simple, but the truth is they're just not easy. And we tend to minimize the importance of these simple everyday practices that you're talking about. We're looking for something flashier, snazzier, something, you know, with a little more pizzazz, or surely there's something more complex, or, you know, like a life hack, you know, is what we're looking at.
Right.
But we're just saying it's these simple everyday things. And you coach parents every day with these kinds of things. Can you share a story with us, Nanette, of maybe a family that you've worked with that you've impacted, and how biblical parenting coaching has changed their family?
Well, there's a family earlier this year that I worked with, and the son was just not cooperative. And he would have some anger issues, but really just didn't cooperate when he was asked to take care of things and follow up through with his responsibilities. So we began to work and worked through this whole communication, for one thing. But one of the things I asked them to do was really to begin to be specific with affirming him. And as they began to do that, their own emotions kind of lowered, and the tone changed, that they stopped escalating with their emotions. And the son became a little bit more in tune with what other people needed in the home. And so he was beginning to cooperate a little bit better. So as this continued and they began to adjust and make some more specific affirmations towards him, they also began to relate better as they played together. They just had a lot of more play time together. I encouraged them to spend time where he enjoyed play, not where the parents maybe enjoyed it, but directed by the son. That relationship grew, and by the time we finished our parenting sessions, the mom's words exactly were this: I feel like we have a new child because he is so much more cooperative and he enjoys working together on projects and feels so good about himself. Well, that was really directed to the fact that they began to affirm him and thank him, but then that built up his character. He could know what he brought to the family. He was contributing to the family. And so, of course, he just wanted to contribute more. I love the fact that children, when they are affirmed and know where their place is and what they bring to the table, they just build their confidence. And then that translates into cooperation and respect and all those other positive things, honor. All of those things began to take place. But it didn't happen overnight. You know, this was over the course of like 10 weeks before they were able to get to this point of feeling like they were actually seeing the fruit of some of the work.
Oh my goodness. So they were actually seeing the pineapple grow, right?
Yes.
That's what we were talking about.
That's exactly and you know, right. Yeah.
Nanette, that's so encouraging to hear. And I think we as parents are just so guilty of wanting those instant fixes. Now, if you asked us that, you know, we wouldn't say that. We would say, of course we're patient. Of course we, you know, want to wait for the long game. But I want to speak to those parents out there who are listening and they're in a season of struggle. There were some important things that Nanette said here. And one of those is affirming your children, especially in that season of struggle. It can be really hard to think of something positive because you just feel like everything is going wrong. Mm-hmm. But looking for those specific things, there's a very big difference to a child between saying, hey, you did a good job, I'm proud of you, and saying, you did such a great job getting up on that stage and speaking before so many people. That's a big fear for a lot of people. And you did it with confidence. And I'm so proud of your character and the diligence you had to prepare for that. That makes a big difference. Well, a Nanette, as we close out, my addition to this would be and having gratitude. I think one of the best gifts you can give yourself and your kids this Christmas is to keep a gratitude journal for them. Now, how do you do this? Every day between now, or you can choose to start at Thanksgiving. Every day between now and Christmas, it doesn't matter if your child is a baby or a teenager or even a young adult, write down something every day that you're grateful for in them. Something that you see, something they contribute to your family, like Nanette was talking about, write it down. If they're young, put a picture in it. It's really easy to go buy an inexpensive photo album at a drugstore or a discount store and put a picture in there with your handwriting of their affirmation. It will be a treasure for years to come to see themselves through your eyes. Nanette, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be here.
All right. Well, don't go back. Don't go away. After this break, we'll be talking about more preparations for the holidays, and we'll talk about picture boundaries for family. Are you dreading telling your family not to post a picture of your kid on social media? I'll tell you what to say when we come back.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Welcome back on this Monday of Thanksgiving week as families are busy preparing to host guests from out of town or maybe going to visit family, or maybe you're like me and you have family in town. And so it's a great time to visit with them and to have turkey and watch football and do all of those kinds of things. If you were listening to the program earlier today, we were talking to a certified biblical parenting coach and named Nanette Johnson, and we were just having a great discussion about nurturing your children's spiritual health and about intentionally choosing gratitude this week. And I'm going to continue to talk to you about that in this segment. It can be really hard. I have heard from many of you through different means of communication that the holidays are hard and the holidays can be stressful, and you're trying to get those matching outfits and that Pinterest worthy dish ready, and you're trying to maybe make travel arrangements or host people, and your kids are off schedule and they're not doing their schoolwork this week, and so things just seem maybe a little bit chaotic. And for some of you, there can be some very tense family relationships that give you a lot of anxiety. Now, I've been talking a lot about this, and today I'm going to talk specifically about family stressors related to social media. Now, this is something that previous generations just did not face. When we got together, there was no group of sultry teenagers sitting on a couch all on their phones and ignoring the family gathering. They may have still been salty about it, but they were still at the table. They were helping grandma in the kitchen, or they were watching football on a TV with rabbit ears. But phones have made it more difficult to talk at family engagements. And so one thing that you might think about right now is setting some family boundaries for your phones on that Thanksgiving day. Now, I'm not making this a punitive thing, but making it a group team project experiment kind of thing, and really talking about how and when you will use your phones when you are with family. And I think it's important to talk to your kids about preparing them to see extended family and what your expectations of are their of their interactions with them. Now, one of my kids' favorite things and my grandmother's favorite thing, my granny, I would help my kids prepare questions to interview her so that they weren't tempted so much to be on their phones, and they were able to use that time to ask questions. Now, this honestly can be a great buffer in a tense situation, helping them come up with a list of questions that you know are safe, that aren't going to have any emotional triggers, but just asking some general questions about their favorite childhood memories, their favorite memories of favorite relatives. That can be a great way to kind of bridge a gap and to start some conversation when sometimes if you haven't seen family for a while, or if they're extended family, it can feel awkward. But that can be a great way to empower kids to engage and interact with families. Now, the issue that I keep getting a lot of questions about is tension about posting pictures of your children on their social media. Now, this is hard because you may have older generations, you may have grandparents and great grandparents who just really don't understand the concern, or they may feel like there's a perception of control here, like, why can't I post this? But I've heard stories from people who the grandparents posted the first photo of their newborn baby on social media even before the parents got to. And this is something that the grandparents never had to experience. So they may not understand how difficult that is or what that's like. And they are usually well-meaning, but still that can cause a lot of pain and angst. And it's really hard too for younger parents who are really thinking about stewarding their child's digital media footprint. There are a lot of right answers here. There are a lot of wrong answers too. But some parents choose not to post their child at all. Some parents choose not to have social media at all. Those are both right answers. Some parents really are very selective about the pictures that they choose. But this can be hard if you have teenage cousins who will all of a sudden your baby's on Snapchat and you didn't even know what happened. That can be really disconcerting because there are some concerns about safety and privacy. And to be honest, as a parent, it just feels really yucky to have your child's image so out of your control and out there for anyone to see. So here is my best advice if you are the parent. My best advice is you are the parent. So you get to make the decisions. The truth is that stewarding your child's digital media footprint is your responsibility, and it's one that you shouldn't be afraid to confidently guide. Now, hear me say this loud and clear, whether it's about social media or anything else, do not let relational pressure hold you emotionally hostage. There are so many times, and I have been there, friends. I have been there in difficult family situations where I have let that relational pressure just basically put me in a pressure cooker, and I overthink and overthink and overthink, and I second guess and I make a decision. And here's the thing that might be really hard for some of you to hear. If you are in that situation, the truth is probably whatever you do is not going to be good. And everything that you do is going to cause conflict. So you should at least feel good about the boundaries that you set. So I'll say that again. Don't let relational pressure hold you emotionally hostage. So here's an example of a message that you can send. It's really important to talk about this before. It will be awkward in the moment. It will be more awkward after the moment. It will be awkward before the moment, but less awkward than other options. So I would recommend that you send this message to your family either on a social media post or an email or a text message. That way it kind of takes the awkwardness out of that immediate response, feeling like, oh, they have to respond immediately and feeling badly about it. But just say something like this. We are really looking forward to spending time with you during the holidays. I want to share with you that as parents, we are learning a lot about stewarding our children's digital footprint and about keeping them safe online. We need you to help us do that by respecting these requests we have about posting. And then tell them what those requests are. And then you can say, we realize everyone has different boundaries and we may not all agree on them, but I'm confident we can agree to respect and support each other. Parenting is a really big responsibility and it's really hard with all of the challenges facing us today. We really appreciate and need your love and support as we work towards our mission of being the best parents we can possibly be. Now, I did post that on my Instagram for you. So if you want to copy that, you feel free to take it and run. And again, there will be some scoffing. There will be some eye rolling. There will be some huffing and puffing and those kinds of things. But ultimately, it is your responsibility. Now, here's some examples of specific boundaries that you may want to take. You could ask them, please don't post any pictures of our children on any social media accounts, and just make it as simple as that. You could say, please ask for our specific permission to post a photo of our kids on social media. So in other words, if there's a specific picture that they want to post, if they would ask you before posting. You could say, please only post the photos we specifically give you to share on social media. Or you could also say, please share these boundaries with your kids who have their own social media and help us just make sure that they're aware and they can help us. You can help us keep our kids safe. Now, who's going to argue with that? Well, there may be that one relative, but that's a pretty hard argument to make. So if this kind of message is enough to cause World War II in your relationship, then I would say gently, as someone who's been there, there are bigger problems to be addressed than this one. Don't let it steal your joy. Now, on the November 15th episode, I had an episode about navigating broken family relationships and a holiday survival guide. So if this is you and you are sitting in your car nodding saying, yep, this is my week, then go back and listen to that episode. The other things that you can do to help navigate family pressures around social media at the holiday times is to self-evaluate. Think about your own posting norms. Is your account private, or do you routinely share photos of your kids? Because asking your family to follow rules you don't follow yourself can invite conflict. So think through any discrepancies that might be there. So if there is, for example, you post pictures of your children and you're asking them not to, just make sure that you say that clearly, that I am stewarding their digital footprint and I want to be the sole decision maker on what is posted and what is not. That is perfectly fine to do. The other thing that you can do if you're worried about this is to limit sharing. It's much easier for people to share what you have already shared. So make sure your account is private. Make sure that you're not sharing anything you don't want someone on your social network to share. Because again, it's just easiest for people to share things that are shared with them by text message even. You could also consider some alternatives as a peacekeeping measure. So maybe intentionally take or share the photos that you give permission to share. Now, a lot of times, you know, you'll see that myself, I am pretty restrictive about what I share publicly about my children. I do have concerns about safety, and I also want to teach them to be the guardian of their own digital footprint. But sometimes you might see a view from behind, a profile, or you could have a photo of family members holding hands or a child looking up at a tree that doesn't have their face. If those pictures are ones that you wouldn't mind sharing, then you can give permission to share those specific images. And then confidently and cordially give your boundaries beforehand. That can be really hard to do, but it's going to be much better than all of the hand-wringing that occurs afterward, thinking, oh my gosh, what do we do? Do we call them? Do we say something? Do I call them? Does my husband call them? Because, you know, it's his mother, or whatever the case may be, that can be difficult. And stand strong. Be confident in your role as parent and protector. Don't allow relational pressure to hold you emotionally hostage. Offer a brief rationale and move on. Now, if people violate your request, if you ask them to do something and they still don't do it, then calmly, confidently, and kindly ask them to take it down. Remind them of those boundaries. And if they refuse, then just report it to the platform and ask the platform to take it down. Consider removing their access to your social media. Give them a kind but firm message that you're going to need to enact a boundary until trust can be rebuilt to honor your request. Now, the last thing that I want to talk about as far as social media and family pressures is I want to give a special message to all the mamas out there. Yes, I'm talking specifically to mamas for a minute. For all the mamas who just hate the way that they look in pictures. Yes, I'm talking to you, the one who tries to hide in the back, the one who tries to not be in the picture, the one who deletes pictures on your phone after you go through them because you are so critical of the way you look. You don't like the crow's feet or the way that your body is shaped. Now, again, I'm not telling you anything that I haven't been through myself. My daughter not too long ago took a picture of me, and as she handed my phone back, she casually said, "You're not going to like this picture." I looked at her kind of thinking, "Why?" And she said she knew I wouldn't think the angle was flattering. And then I felt sick because she was right. And I thought, how had I communicated so much about my self-image without intention? And what else did she see? But here's the thing, parents, mamas especially, when we say, "I don't like the way I look in pictures," our daughters are thinking, "Well, great, I look just like you." They aren't thinking, "Oh," but we're thinking, "Oh, you're thinner, you're younger, no, you're beautiful, I'm not." They don't make that differentiation. Mamas, our kids need to see us in the picture. They don't see flabby arms or crow's feet or rounded bellies or any other insecurities in our looks. They see us in their life. They see our arms wrapped around them in embrace. They see us looking at them with love in our eyes. They see us holding hands with our spouse. They see us engaged in play, and they see the dimensions of our personality. They see us present in the moment, and they see a tangible record of us woven into the tapestry of their life stories. So mamas, this week, when your family's together, be in the picture. Be present, silence that inner critic, and be there for your kids. We'll see you back here tomorrow. I can't wait. We have a mom coming all the way from Hawaii, Monica Swanson, who will be talking about raising kids who do the dishes without being asked. See you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.